This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Tuesday, January 15th. I'm Jeff Bossert. Coming up, what the approval of funding for mass transit in the Chicago area means to downstate Illinois. Some lawmakers wanted to approve funding for road and bridge construction in that transit bill. And we'll have a look at your AM 580 weather forecast for Champaign-Urbana, but first, today's news. Ameren says it's managed to contain pollution on the site of a former manufactured gas plant in Champaign, but some residents aren't so sure. Ameren held a community open house last night to discuss its environmental investigation at the vacant lot at 5th and Hill. Brian Martin is a consulting environmental scientist for the utility. He says while Ameren has found contaminants in the coal tar buried underneath the site, they are isolated from community residents and pose little risk.
We've not identified anything that's a threat to anyone immediately, and the purpose of our continuing work is going to be to make sure that is true in the future. We want to remove these contaminants before anyone becomes exposed to them.
But some people who live near the site are concerned about the long-term health risks from the site. Martin says Ameren has been working on the site since 1990 through a site remediation program. Federal and state assessment teams will be sent to Watseka and Pontiac today to determine the number of homes impacted by last week's flooding. State Emergency Management Association Director Andrew Velasquez says teams hope to complete their assessments by the end of the day tomorrow and if they would support a federal disaster declaration. Both Livingston and Iroquois counties were declared state disaster areas on January 9th. About 200 homes in Pontiac were impacted. Iroquois County spokesman Justin Kaiser says most Watseka schools reopened this week, and he says some residents of the more than 400 homes there have been able to return. Urbana may turn to the spirit of volunteerism when it comes to keeping sidewalks clear after snow and ice storms. More from AM 580's Tom Rogers.
Mayor Laurel Pressing is proposing setting up a task force to consider any sort of shoveling ordinance in Urbana. Many other cities require shoveling by law, though officials say enforcement varies widely there. Last year, Champaign launched a requirement for downtown and campus town businesses. Pressing wants Urbana to take smaller steps, including encouraging volunteers to help their neighbors.
We can start with the volunteers right now. I don't think we have to wait till the task force report, but I think we need the perspective of people from different walks of life. I'd like to hear what apartment owners have to say and what tenants have to say and the school district and have a representative from every neighborhood association.
Pressing says the task force may decide that Urbana doesn't need a snow shoveling ordinance, but Alderman Dennis Roberts says it could also go the other way.
Maybe we just need to have a discussion about it and encourage it and watch for change. But if we don't, we may have to come back and sort of mandate some change in certain instances.
Last night, city council members heard from several residents with disabilities who say they rely on clean sidewalks. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.
Illinois is poised to become the first state to plan random drug testing of high school student athletes without a legislative mandate. The Illinois High School Association Board of Directors approved the testing yesterday in a meeting in Bloomington. The group represents more than 750 Illinois high schools. Student athletes who compete in postseason events will be subject to random tests for performance-enhancing drugs starting next fall. Currently, New Jersey and Florida are the only states to test student athletes, and Texas is finalizing its program. IHSA Executive Director Marty Hickman says the random testing will apply to students competing in IHSA state series. Examples include regionals, sectionals, and state championships. Final details, such as penalties for students who test positive, will be discussed next month. Parkland College may have a permanent president in the next few days. Parkland's Board of Trustees will meet Wednesday night, potentially to vote on making interim president Tom Ramage the community college's fifth president. Board Chairman Jim Ayers says trustees conducted Ramage's six-month performance evaluation over the weekend.
Well, I think everyone was very pleased with the performance, Dr. Ramage, and we had a list of goals, and we had a report on each of the goals, and I think everyone was very satisfied that he's been doing a very good job.
Ayers says it's likely a trustee will move to give Ramage the job for good in an executive session Wednesday. He says no candidate searches are planned, though it's only been about 2 years since the last one took place. It resulted in the selection of former President Robert Exley, who left after less than a year on the job for health reasons. Trustees chose Ramage to replace him last June. He's been at Parkland for 10 years, most recently as Vice President for Academic Services. University of Illinois administrators will seek another increase in housing rates for the next fiscal year. U of I trustees are expected to take up the issue later this week. The hike would range from 4% to 8%, depending on whether the contract is for a residence hall or a campus-based apartment complex, the size of the unit, and the meal plan a student is enrolled in. On the Urbana campus, the majority of the increase will go towards construction of a 150-bed residence hall opening next year, along with new dining facilities. The rest of the hike would account for inflationary costs in food and staffing. Associate Vice Chancellor for Student Affairs Mike DiLorenzo says these increases have been fairly consistent and shouldn't be cause for alarm.
When we plan projects that are going on now, we try to anticipate them and increase, you know, roll out any types of increases over time so it's not a shock to the system. So we plan ahead to try to project any type of major capital improvements that we are undertaking.
DiLorenzo says the request for housing costs is similar to what's been sought in recent years and is consistent with what other state universities are doing. U of I trustees meet on the Chicago campus on Thursday. Some smokers aren't happy about being exiled to the parking lot at Joliet Junior College, so they've formed a group to protest the restrictions. The first test for students for smokers' rights came yesterday when they met with the college president and the campus police chief. For nearly an hour, the group's leader, Brandon Harris, and four others tried to make a case for easing up on the new restrictions, which went into effect January 1st. Harris claims he has been late for classes because he's had to stand so far away. But his argument wasn't very convincing to officials. They reminded the group that the new policy was formed in part after a campus survey found 30% favored forcing smokers to the parking lots, while an equal percentage wanted smoking completely banned. For the latest newscast online, go to wiol.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jeff Foster. Downstate lawmakers in Illinois tried to tie a statewide construction program to the issue of mass transit in the Chicago area. But when Illinois lawmakers finally signed off on a transit bailout, those looking for help with needs in other parts of the state were left wondering if that derailed their best chance at getting projects for their districts. Sean Crawford has this story.
While the attention over the past few months has been on the importance of keeping buses and trains operating in the Chicago region, those representing other parts of Illinois point out their areas also have problems. They recite a litany of needs, many that have gone unmet for years as Illinois has failed to approve what's commonly referred to as a capital construction program. With mass transit so important for some lawmakers, downstaters saw an opportunity. John Sullivan is a Democratic senator from Rushville.
We're willing to help them and come up with that solution, but we also have a crisis in the rest of the state, and our roads and bridges and schools are crumbling, and we need a capital bill. And so we think it's very logical that these two issues could be combined.
The strategy seemed to work, at least for a while. Negotiations took place off and on. But last week, facing a deadline to avert mass transit cutbacks, legislative leaders muscled through a bailout package, getting narrow approval in both chambers. Some downstate Democrats even joined in helping to pass it. Alton Democratic Senator Bill Hain withheld his vote, but admits the outlook is now bleak for a construction program.
It's the only leverage we had. And again, it passed without the bulk of the downstate vote. Some voted for it because of their concern about the collapse of mass transit generally. But I don't know. It's the only thing that we had. So what do you do? This is what we had to bring people to the table.
It's not that lawmakers across Illinois, even in Chicago, don't want to take care of infrastructure needs. They all profess the importance of maintaining roads, bridges, and buildings. However, paying for it is another matter. The focus has been on a major gambling expansion, as few showed an appetite to raise taxes across the state. But many were also uneasy about authorizing new casinos and allowing slot machines at horse tracks. With a deadline looming for the transit issue and still far apart on a deal for a construction program, something had to give. Downstaters found they were being labeled as obstructionists, further straining their relationship with members from Chicago and the suburbs. Sid Mathias is a House Republican from suburban Buffalo Grove. He voted for the transit measure, but says he continues to support his downstate colleagues.
I really think that this regional issue is given too much weight, that I have helped certainly pass bills for my colleagues downstate, and they have helped pass bills that they really have no interest in, but no helps us.
The Illinois legislature has seen its share of disagreements through the years and at times regional warfare. The diversity of the state from rural to urban brings with it different needs and viewpoints. However, 2007 put an even brighter spotlight on regional differences. Take the issue of high electric rates downstate. Despite howls of protest from lawmakers in central and southern Illinois, legislative leaders and the governor bottled up consumer relief for months. For those who felt their constituents were being ignored, it led to more distrust that others will follow through with their end of the bargain even after a deal has been made. John Bradley is a Democratic House lawmaker from Marion.
People feel like that trust has been betrayed, and I don't want to speak for anybody else, but you know, certainly that's a dynamic which unfortunately is poisoning everything that we're doing here. I mean, if people trusted one another, if people could work together, we'd have been done back in May.
Bradley says he'll continue to work for a construction program, and he's hopeful others will join the effort. But taking into account funding and the gridlock that permeates state governments, he could be a bit optimistic. Watching the mass transit package move down the tracks, Bradley admits it's possible downstate needs could be left at the station. I'm Sean Crawford.
In the forecast for East Central Illinois, sunny skies today, a high around 28 degrees. Tonight mostly clear, the low around 18. Mostly sunny tomorrow morning, then increasing clouds during the afternoon, the high around 40. Then we'll cool off quite a bit. Cloudy skies tomorrow night, some sprinkles and flurries possible. Occasional light snow after midnight, the low 25. Cloudy with periods of light snow Thursday, an accumulation of an inch or two possible, the high around 30. And on Thursday evening, mostly cloudy, some flurries during the evening hours, the low 18. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Tuesday, January 15th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, will.illinois.edu. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.